All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ivan Stewart. I'm a member here at First Family Church, and I prepared a word for you this morning. Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into it. It should be good on time. I got a lot to cover, so let's go ahead and pray. Father, indeed, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord, to be able to come together this morning to hear your word, God, to be able to teach your word, Lord. I pray that you help me to do so faithfully and humbly, Lord God. I pray for the people who are going to hear your word preached, Lord, that you would grant them ears to hear, Lord, that it would be an encouragement to them, Lord, that I would be able to share with accuracy and precision, Lord God. And then I'm also thankful for this ministry, Lord, where we're able to provide the community with resources and food, Lord, that I'd even be privileged enough to benefit from, Lord God. So, again, pray for your continued blessing upon this ministry, upon this church, Lord, and our message today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, my text this morning is going to be from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. It's a parable. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was its fall. So this comes from, again, Matthew chapter 7. This is part of the famous Sermon on the Mount. Here we see Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking this sermon to a crowd. This is actually one of the most renowned discourses in the New Testament, that I would say. And Jesus is speaking to this crowd. His disciples likely would have been present. His disciples were frequently present while he was teaching. And in this sermon, actually on the Sermon on the Mount, it covers from Matthew, starts in Matthew chapter 5, goes all the way to the end of Matthew chapter 7. So this section that we're reading is actually the end of that Sermon on the Mount where he gives this parable of the two builders. So before he gets to this parable, he actually covers a range of topics. So I'm just going to briefly preface all of those from Matthew 5 to 7 the best I can. So he begins in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. He goes on to discuss believers being salt and light in the world. He emphasizes the importance of God's law. Jesus provides guidance on benevolence, even like our ministry we see here today, benevolence, prayer, and fasting. He advises against worry and anxiety. He warns against hypocritical judgment and introduces the golden rule of treating others as you wish to be treated. Many of us are familiar with the golden rule. The golden rule comes from the Sermon on the Mount. He offers his famous teaching on the narrow gate, which highlights that a mere profession of faith coupled with a life of lawlessness, that type of person will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus also provides an analogy of a tree and its fruit, highlighting that good trees should bear good fruit, explaining the difference between true and false disciples. And then finally, he concludes here in this passage, which is our text today, which is the parable of the two builders, one who builds his house on rock and the other who builds his house on the sand. And in this parable, that we're talking about today, one of the things that Jesus is stressing here is illustrating the importance of not only hearing, but doing his teachings. Not only hearing, but doing his teaching. Verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, again, everyone who hears and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, it's important to note the authority with which Jesus is speaking. Jesus, if you notice, is referencing himself as the one whose teaching is to be obeyed, right? We see verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine, his teaching is the one to be obeyed. In fact, immediately following the verse in Matthew chapter 7, the verse concludes, the next verse over, 28, by saying, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes do. So if you think about it, right, when I'm up here speaking, I'm not saying heed to my words. I don't have that kind of authority. I ain't got that kind of juice, right? Jesus here says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, and they recognize this, right? Jesus came to them as God in the flesh. He came as God in the flesh. This is why he was able to speak with such authority and wisdom. One of the major reasons, in fact, Jesus was sent to be crucified by the religious leaders and the Pharisees, is they believed when he was speaking that he was committing blasphemy by the way he spoke. They recognized this by the way that Jesus spoke. They believed that only God could speak in such a way, which is correct. Only God can speak. But the point that they missed was that Jesus was, in fact, God in the flesh. Jesus was, in fact, God. So, while we're focusing on specific passages within the Sermon on the Mount, which contains, obviously, Jesus' words, right? Jesus is speaking here. And it's the immediate context of our message. Let's also remember that Jesus' words span from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus' words span from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to kind of deviate really quickly just to illustrate that point and flush it out. A lot of you are probably familiar with this verse where Jesus is identified as the Word. I'm going to slide over to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, which states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So this passage is often referred to as a very significant theological statement about the divinity of Jesus. This is in the beginning, the prologue of John's gospel. It describes Jesus as the Word, the Logos, who existed from the beginning, was with God, and was God. This is a foundational text, particularly in understanding the nature of Christ as both fully God and fully man. So I say this to say, I had a conversation. I was actually had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door, and we were trying to explain to her a little bit about John 1, and we were comparing the text, and one of the things I said to her was Jesus cannot be separated from his word. And she was like, "Well, what does that mean?" I was like, "Well, would you agree? Like, read the text." She's like, "What does that mean?" And that's important. We can't miss that, right? Jesus cannot be separated from his word. As we read in John, it's part of his divine nature. Jesus is identified as the word in John's gospel. So I'm going to slide back to our text. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Now, whenever we see "like" or "as," which we see in this text here, right, "does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock," we're using a metaphor, right? A metaphor. It's metaphoric language. It's not meant to be taken literal. You guys don't have to go out and go start building the house on the rock right now, right? We want to draw from this illustration that Jesus is giving us because he's pointing us to a more significant truth, right? The rock here represents something incredibly stable. The rock represents something incredibly stable to rest upon, and it will not simply erode away, but rather stay intact when put to the test by a violent storm or harsh weather, ensuring that whatever is resting on it will be able to withstand. Ensuring that whatever is put on this foundation is able to withstand. Now, notice again, the text here does not stop at "hears." It says "hears and does." Hears and does. So the idea that's being presented here is someone who genuinely hears. And I'm going to give you an analogy because I like food. And so I know many of you probably do the same, so it's easy to relate to. My wife, who's here, makes the most phenomenal mac and cheese. At Thanksgiving, holidays, everyone looks forward to my wife's mac and cheese. Now, if she were to give you the instructions to her recipe, it may involve things like elbow macaroni noodles, a high quality sharp cheddar cheese that you would have to grade, right? High quality butter. You'd have to use a Dutch oven. It's how you get those nice crispy edges on the macaroni and cheese, right? Someone who genuinely heard her recipe, someone who trusted in her instructions and followed that recipe, I could look at that and I could taste it and I can tell you whether or not you follow the instructions. And I know this from multiple holiday experience, right? Now, someone who didn't genuinely hear those instructions may choose not to cook at all, may choose not to do the recipe at all. Someone could hear this, hear these instructions, and maybe they go to their cabinet, find some old Top Ramen, boil it up, throw some squirt cheese in there, stir it around, put it in front of me. Yeah, right? Exactly. So the look and taste of that mac and cheese would not only be disgusting, because I could tell by your reactions, but it would also serve as evidence that the one who was doing the cooking in this era did not genuinely hear what was being taught to them. They did not genuinely hear. They have maybe caught some remnants of the instructions, but the recipe, I can guarantee you, would most assuredly not be my wife's mac and cheese. So here we're discussing in this parable those who hear Jesus and do what he says as evidence of their hearing. As we established earlier, his word, Jesus' word, is the word of God. That's why I kind of deviated us over to John 1. And is the only certain rule for faith and obedience, right? If you've been following along with our Baptist catechism, what is the word of God? The word of God is the Old and New Testament, and is the only certain word for faith and obedience, Jesus' words. This understanding is paramount, because if we fail to grasp this, we risk misunderstanding. And if we get the hearing wrong, then we will in turn get the doing wrong. Repentance and faith in Jesus are what the gospel requires. And repentance and faith produce obedience. Those who hear and do what Jesus says, according to this parable, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now the sand here in our metaphor is not like the rock. The sand is not like the rock. The sand, when in the midst of the storm, will easily shift, erode away, and under the same conditions, whatever's built upon it will surely fall. Whatever's built on sand will surely fall. According to this parable, it is guaranteed. So notice, I want you to notice the significance, this short little parable. The significance here in this parable is not the houses themselves. It's not the houses themselves, but rather it's their foundation. In fact, this is an area I like to target when I go out and evangelize. When I evangelize, oftentimes I'm speaking to people, and a lot of them will claim or profess to be Christians. A lot of them will say, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christianity. This is where we find out where I like to investigate to tell whether their worldview, whether their claims are built on rock or sand. Sometimes I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, you're a Christian? I'm a Christian. What are you reading? What are you reading in Scripture? Reading in Scripture? What? All of a sudden, you see smoke coming out of the ears, right? Oh, okay, cool. What church do you go to? Church? Well, you know, I haven't been in like 10, 15 years, but I used to go to this church when I was a kid. Okay, cool. Oh, who is this you're with? This is my girlfriend. We live together. Oh, so you're living in sin and adultery, but you're claiming to be a Christian. Right? The hearing and doing go hand in hand. A life built on sand, a life built on a weak foundation is not stable. People come to church for many reasons, right? People come to church for a lot of reasons. When they get their feelings hurt or things don't go their way, many will leave. Same thing with marriages, right? People get their feelings hurt, things don't go their way, they're divorced. Very common thing in our culture, right? Why is that? Wrong foundation. Foundation should not be your feelings, but rather the objective law, word of God. However, people who are going to church because of who Christ is and what he's done, people who are married because of who Christ is and what he's done, and people who genuinely hear the word of God, Jesus' word, and act based upon that have a sure foundation. They have a rock solid foundation. So when we see faithful saints, those saints who have their feet firmly planted on the rock, who get their feelings hurt and things don't go their way, they stay the course. It's not that they don't get their feelings hurt. It's not that marriage is never difficult. It's not that they don't feel the effects of the storm. It's just that when, not if, but when the storm comes, they stand, not because of them, but it's because Christ is their foundation. It's because of Jesus Christ, right? They understand their Christian duty to obey by faith. Hearing is not enough. Hearing alone is not enough, nor is your intellectual ability. The Lord Jesus demands your obedience. Jesus Christ demands your obedience. There are consequences for those who hear God's word and do not obey it. Disobedience brings about judgment. And that includes judgment in this life and the eternal one. Your obedience matters. Your obedience is not without effect. In fact, early on in this sermon, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does, there we go with the doing again, whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So here we see a clear warning. We see a clear warning, and I would even say judgment, not in regards to salvation, but a judgment nonetheless, right? One is called least, one is called great. So there's clearly a distinction being made based on the doing. And just before our text today, if we just bump up one, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does, there we go with the doing again, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, you who do not obey the law. Charles Spurgeon, I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Quote, God grant, if we must have two eyes, that they may be both clear ones. One eye of faith wholly fixed on Christ, the other eye of obedience equally and wholly fixed on the same objective. End quote. Hearing and doing go hand in hand, just like peanut butter and chocolate. They go together. Genuine faith produces obedience. If you have faith, it will produce obedience. So, what is at the core of this parable? A comparison. A comparison between the one who is wise. Why is he wise? Because Christ is his foundation. It's not because he's smart or mighty. His wisdom is anchored in Christ. And the fool is the one who refuses to heed to the words of Jesus. Whatever the fool has built is all for nothing and will be swept away. This parable highlights the importance of obedience. Yes, obedience. Do works save you? No. If you've been here for quite some time, you know this. But are works important? You bet.
Yes.
Absolutely. Very important. If you are not living in life in accordance with Christ's commands, you should doubt and examine yourself. Simple as that. Notice I didn't say walking perfectly. I didn't say you had to be perfect. But if you're living in a normative pattern of disobedience, it should offer you no assurance. You should not be comfortable. Will you struggle with sin? Yes. Will you have struggles and battles you got to work through and repent regularly? Sure hope so, right? That's the Christian life. But guess what repentance from sin is? It's a form of obedience, right? You should not feel comfortable in it. Calling yourself a Christian and walking constantly in darkness and not being bothered by it is pure delusion. If you are calling yourself a Christian and you are walking in a pattern of darkness, you are completely deluded. You have sand as your foundation. And if that is you, if you're not walking in that pattern, the call is simple. It's to repent. Turn around, look at Jesus, and genuinely hear the words that Jesus is speaking and be a faithful doer. Repentance and faith is what the gospel requires. But repentance and faith, again, produce obedience. Hear Jesus' words and do them. Now, for the one who comes to Christ in faith with a broken and contrite heart, he is sure to forgive. So, if you are a Christian today, and if you are trusting in him, be encouraged. Stand firm in the storms, and keep building, because Christ, the rock, is your foundation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.